We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Say whatever you want about everything that's going on. I heard Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network, and he, you know, he's a brilliant guy, and he said, I'm not making excuses for Brad Underwood. Sometimes basketball is a simple game. You can say anything about transfer portal and roster construction and point guards, this and that. Coach the game in front of you. Illinois had no concept of what to do. They were lost.
I don't know why you're so mad.
Forget it, he's rolling.
This is what we predicted yesterday. Like, we both said that Eric Musselman is going to out-coach Brad Underwood. When he is coaching, he is screaming McRed face.
Oh, he can stand there and glare and glower all he wants if somebody else is behind him with the whiteboard.
Loud noises!
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on 670 The Score.
Happy spring! Not quite yet. We got about 6 hours to go. And then it's going to get all equinotic up in here. And there will be photographers stationed throughout Chicago for what is known as Chicago Henge. There is a vernal version and an autumnal version. Usually the autumnal is right down here, and they look out over Lake Street. And okay. I'm not sure if that's the same as the vernal Chicago Henge.
Usually, is the vernal Randolph? Because usually we see the train
tracks. Is it Madison? The train tracks here on Lake are the autumnal.
No, but we see like the Needlander Theater too.
Yeah.
So I think it's Randolph. Maybe the autumnal is Randolph, and the vernal is, and the Vern Lundquist are Lake Street. Maybe that's what it is.
Either way, it's going to warm up and feel a little springier today just in time.
Yay!
For it. Yay. As we broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are going to talk about the NCAA tournament, just a great sports weekend in general. Whatever you wanted. This gave you every opportunity to pick and choose and look. And the Bulls.
It sure did, Dan.
The Bulls had a couple exciting games. Oh, we'll get to Lawrence the Greek. in a second. But Pete Futek will join us at 11. We've got High Noon. We've got Aram Layton on baseball. And Ala Abdelnaby will preview. And actually, this is kind of an interesting Bulls matchup tonight. The Sixers won, what, 8 in a row?
Is Joel Embiid playing?
Now they're in deep trouble then.
Because if he's playing,
they have not had an answer.
They're going to lose.
They're going to lose.
But they've been playing well. And we will have to have a discussion on... Cause I think people are making it a little too simple why they're playing well. And strangely enough, I think we have another theory that we would like to throw out to people.
Monday mornings, often we compare notes and just look at like the headlines, the cut lines, the headlines on everything we've got, you know, first thought, second thought. And the Bulls one kind of matches up because
just like our shirts.
Yeah. I don't know.
And I was opposite with David. David had the green pants and the black sweater.
Yep, he did.
Now, this is very bizarre because you guys have done this with this same shirt before, I feel
we
like.
We have.
Well, I have two of these. So that's
have one.
Yeah, I didn't know I had two. I thought I lost it, and then I bought another one, and then I found the other one. So now I have two.
You increase the chances of this happening.
Exactly.
Yes.
So just of grabbing something in the dark and having it be one of these, because I can't tell if it's the gray one or the, I don't know. I've got a million of these.
My Mondays, I try to look a little bit more like an adult. Like usually, like Friday, we were in here, we were in hoodies and sweats and stuff. But usually on Monday, I try to start the week kind of, like if I had to have a meeting, I could have a meeting and I'm wearing big boy pants and that sort of thing.
Oh, I looked good last night. We went out to our anniversary
last night. On the Instagram.
Oh, wait, there was no picture of me on the Instagram.
No, but I saw where you went.
It was nice. I am full.
So all right, Beth said that the key to a long sustaining marriage is separate desserts. So I need to know what the desserts
okay,
were.
Okay, there are three things that are a key. Separate desserts are really good. First and foremost, this is as of today, March 20th, we got married 24 years ago. So we are 1 year away from the silver anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So thank you. Together for 26.
Congratulations. It's a wonderful accomplishment.
Oh, no, together since September of 95.
Good Lord.
I mean, yeah, our first date was September 5th of 1995.
And from a listener, right? Like, didn't...
Oh, yeah.
Well, Dan, listen, not everyone knows the story. Sometimes you got to whiteboard it for people.
In a nutshell, I was a Bears reporter. I was in Platteville, and Memelo and Tom Scher were giving me a bunch of grief, and they were saying, oh, yeah, a bunch of girls out there for you, right, in Platteville. I'm like, I don't know if anybody here is my type. And he's like, so what's your type, Bernstein? And I said, well, I don't know. How about blonde hair, blue eyes, and a master's degree in English? And they were like, ha, 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 ha. So
it would have been awesome if you'd been like, I like my women like I like my coffee, black and bitter.
I wasn't witty enough then. And so I get back directly from Platteville to do evening updates for the Murph Show. So I sit at the update desk, and there was that thermal fax machine there.
Yeah.
And at when
Barrett's
Barrett's was in the studio.
I know.
That was the actual fact. Barrett's was a plain paper fax. So that was like big time.
I know.
So I sit down, I start writing a cast, and the fax machine rings, and a fax comes up there. And it was a note addressed to me, and it was from a guy named Ray Sand, who said, I heard what you said on the morning show. It was like a couple days ago. He said, there's a woman in my office she's got blonde hair and green eyes and a bachelor's degree in English. Would you like to meet her? And I look at this, I'm like, oh my God, what am I? I'm really
like,
gonna,
no,
like, am I gonna, what the hell am I gonna call it? He seemed really sincere. So I end up calling the guy, and he didn't even use her real name because he didn't want to sort of commit too much. And he said, I'm happy to give you her number, and maybe you guys, I have her permission to give you. So I call her. We set a date. I had to break the date because something happened with the Bears, and so we rescheduled, and that was it.
That's awesome. But you got to whiteboard this for people because people don't know. Like, we have new listeners that don't remember that Dan. Yep. They don't remember Chunky then, Dan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tony Stewart looking Dan. But yeah, but the guy who sent that fax was at our wedding,
as he should
be. He actually came up to me a couple of years ago. He was at a Cubs game when we were at Gallagher Way, and he came up to say hello again. But yeah, 24 years, and God, did I overeat.
All right, so back to the dessert.
Okay, I had the banana cream Napoleon.
Banana cream pie.
She wanted chocolate. She was having, so she got like whatever, the giant three scoops of chocolate gelato, but the banana cream, Napoleon. We must develop the Napoleon before he develops beef Wellington. The future of Europe hangs in the balance. And yeah, I had, after three bites, I thought, that's enough. But they drizzled warm salted caramel sauce over at tableside, like melted salted caramel drizzle.
That's what you want.
On the caramelized banana.
That's what you want.
Oh my God, man. Like, come on. After the seafood tower and the rib cap steak frites with the, I mean. Dude.
That's a quality meal, sir.
Yeah, I think it's tuna sandwich tonight and bed and basketball and I'm good there. But yeah, it was a lovely weekend, capped off. And the fact that we were going to go to dinner tonight, and then, we had no kids around. So we're like, let's just go tonight. Change the reservation. Let's go. We feel like it. Let's just head out, because we can, because there's no one else here. And she said, get used to it.
And then you cried.
No, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm hanging
but
in
Zoe
there.
Zoe might be back, though, right?
Yeah, she will be. She'll be back. But it's still like back and going to grad school or whatever she's going to be doing, or back and working. It's different. It's different.
It's a little different.
Because you've raised your kids at that point.
Right.
Right?
You've done the job.
You've raised your kids. They happen to have... You know,
they've launched.
Happens to be the roof over their head, and they've got other things and other deals and all that. But, ooh, yeah. So I pretty much planted myself in front of the television, and I loved the difference between so many of these games. The difference between the defensive battles and that Kentucky-Kansas State game. If you needed, like, a... an intermezzo in between courses of just teams not guarding anybody and up and down the floor and everybody trying to dunk everything and behind the back stuff.
And that guard Noel from Kansas State, like, Shibway's going to switch out onto me. I'm going to take him 27 feet and I'm going to drop this three on his head.
He's like little Jalen Brunson.
He's got some toys.
Yeah, he's got some sizzle.
Yeah, I guess he had been mentored in basketball. I don't know.
By Tyler Ulis.
By Kyrie.
And Tyler Ulis, who's on the Kentucky bench.
It's pretty cool, right? That works. That'll get you where you need to
go. Yeah, it was just this is kind of a cool tournament. I don't know much about a lot of these teams, but they're coming from all over the place. This is not just big conference basketball.
This is what we talked about a few weeks ago, where we were discussing, like, we both kind of came to the conclusion of anyone can beat anyone. And that's what this tournament has been. It's been, how fun is this? When you're seeing Fairleigh Dickinson and you're looking up and Furman is out here doing their thing. And it's fun. Like, I haven't had this much fun watching the tournament in a really long time. And I do know that there's one particular coach that you can use. Like, the rule of thumb is, if Michigan State gets into the tournament, advance them one line farther than you think you should advance them.
Or that their season resume would suggest.
Right. And you know what you do? Then what you do is you go back and you look at their... Because this is why why Tom Izzo is so great at his job. Dan, this is a portion of Michigan State's non-conference schedule, okay? Gonzaga, Kentucky, Villanova.
Every year.
Alabama.
Every year.
Oregon, Notre Dame.
Every year. Gonzaga did the same thing this year.
Mm-hmm.
They did the same thing. And I will say this, too, as far as coaches go. I know you hate him.
Oh, Mick Cronin can coach.
I know. I know he's detestable.
I don't like him, but the man can absolutely coach.
Yeah.
But I don't like him.
You should.
And I'm always rooting against him.
There's look, but that also makes it fun.
Yes,
that's the Terry Bores rule of watching college basketball: rooting for coaches he hates to fail.
And Tiger Campbell's been there for 8 years.
Yeah, and he's still doing the hair thing.
His hair looks great.
He's still doing that. Oh, somebody said, what are the other keys to marriage? In your main bedroom, separate sinks.
Oh.
You've got to have separate sinks in your primary bathroom off your bedroom.
I know a couple. I had dinner with some friends a few weeks ago, and I got the tour. Like, it's a beautiful house, and I'm jealous because I'm like, man, I could really do some big things if I moved out to the suburbs. I'm not going to the
suburbs. You could have a compound out there.
Yeah.
You could, like, start a cult.
I know. So I
all worship Lawrence the Greek.
Hello. Well, maybe from this weekend.
With my basketball picks.
I've got some
picks.
Yes,
sir.
So I go in there and I'm going, oh, this place is great. And the wife is showing me around. She goes, okay, so this is his bedroom and this is my bedroom. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Because, you know, that's been a thing over the last decade of people sleeping in different beds. And she goes, well, we have like an internal door so that he could come into my bedroom or I can go into his bedroom.
Knock, knock, knock. No.
Go away. Don't touch me. Get out of here. Hello? We're closed.
I don't speak English. and the because the other thing for us, king size bed.
Got to.
King size bed.
And you guys are, you know.
Well, I half the time I don't even know she's there.
Right. She's small enough to fit in your pocket.
I have to, like, reach over and make sure, like, it's not just the pillows.
Are you there?
I don't know. So as I wake up, she's downstairs already. She's already on the Peloton. I don't know.
Is that it? So wait.
Yeah. Separate. You don't have to share a dessert. Have separate sinks. and get a king size bed.
There's nothing worse than you don't want a dessert. I order a dessert.
Will you have a couple bites of it?
Like, get your own. Oh, I'll pay for your dessert.
And then this discussion, actually, she texted me something while we were eating because she thought this was funny. There is a restaurant that her friend went to where on the menu, this is on Instagram, and I should post this, on the menu, underneath side dishes,
okay,
there is a side dish. It says coleslaw, corn, fried pickles, french fries, onion rings, mashed potatoes, green beans, fried squash, and then one last side.
Mushrooms.
My girlfriend is not hungry. And it says, add extra french fries to your entree and fried either two wings or three fried cheese sticks. So if you know your date is going to be like, I'm not really going to eat. And then you realize your fries are disappearing. Like this is, so they actually have it on the menu.
That's terrific.
For when they say, no, I'm really not hungry.
I'll pay for it. Just get your hands out of there.
Get what you want. I'll get what I want, and we'll both be happy about
yes.
it. Yes. Right?
You ever have to has Beth ever been like, hey, you order the blank, and then I'll order the blank, and then we can share it?
Oh, we would do that a lot. My parents do that all the time. They go and they sit at the bar at Morton's and like split a steak and split a couple of the happy hour things. Yeah, they're amazing at that. So well, occasionally, but she doesn't eat meat, so it changes.
Bacon-tarian.
Yeah, bacon-tarian. It changes what we do. But, yeah, there's you learn over
Studs,
time.
In case you didn't know, she's a vegetarian except for bacon.
Interesting. Okay. I respect that.
Yeah,
it's
not that uncommon because bacon's just too damn good.
It's delicious. Oh, Dan, I went yesterday. I went to go see the parents. I'm coming back to the South Side. There's a restaurant that I love in Woodlawn called Daly's. Like, it was one of the oldest restaurants in Chicago. They moved across the street now. They're on 63rd and Cottage. So I'm like, I'm just gonna order like a sausage biscuit and some grits. Like that's all. And they right. So I'm like, I'm gonna do that. Watch the tournament, and I'm good. So I get back. Like I'm sitting there because you know it's busy. It's Sunday. It's taking a while. I'm like, all right, go get my order. I get home. And I'm like, oh, there's something extra in the bottom of here. And I'm like, is it utensils? Like what? Because they, you know, like the styrofoam containers. Like I didn't need one because I had a little thing of grits and a sausage biscuit, right? I'm like, why is this styrofoam container here?
Bonus.
I opened it up. It was six pieces of bacon.
Man. Now, I feel bad for the person who was supposed to get that in their order.
Yes.
Because ordering bacon and not getting bacon
is really
sucks.
Upsetting.
But if you enjoy it with enough gusto, like you have a responsibility at that point.
I agree.
To go out of your way to appreciate that.
It was like opening a treasure chest. Like it
was Pulp Fiction?
Yeah. Like there was a light that came and it was like, you know, I'm pretty particular about how I want bacon made and it was perfect. And it was like, oh, it's like, there it is.
Marcellus Wallace's soul is in there.
Yep.
Yep.
And it was delicious.
When we come back, there is one particular matchup that is possible in this tournament that I think is going to be great. Well, there's a lot of possible matchups, styles making fights and some of that. So let's actually look at the bracket and see how this is all might go.
I love it. Let's break it down and let's talk about what's been a very fun NCAA tournament. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's the Bernstein and Holmes Show here on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes.
I hate being a fan of this team.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
And he'll pull it out. Mr. March, Tom Izzo, takes Michigan State back to the Sweet 16.
I like courtesy CBS. Looking at this bracket, and if we end up, as I think we could, with Michigan State-Tennessee as an Elite Eight matchup, my hope is they get the right referees.
What do you mean by that?
That understand that not every physical play is a foul and establish a tone that lets those two teams go at it. That's going to be a football game. That is going to be, if those two teams meet, that is absolute appointment college basketball of some grown-ass men. And that was the difference, I thought, in the Marquette players. They're really good, and they had a great year. They look like children.
Yep. They got pushed around in the game, and it didn't go well for Shaka and the boys. They had a great season, though. Had a great season. And it was weird because I really like Shaka Smart, like, a ton. Like, I respect him and what he's done and his approach to not just basketball but seemingly life. I've appreciated. And, you know, that's difficult for me because I bleeping hate Marquette. Like, it's the team I hate the most. Like, the most.
Why?
It's the DePaul Marquette thing. It's Marquette fans in our business.
There are a lot of them.
And
so if you wanted the Schadenfreude yesterday in your timeline,
yeah,
a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth and rending of garments.
And I'll be honest, like, there's a jealousy component to it, too. Because there's no reason that Marquette can be what it's been and DePaul can't be what Marquette's been. They're the same school. That's why I get so mad when people are like, DePaul should, they should go to, like, the Valley. No, they're in a conference with all of the schools are them. It's the same school.
They're in the perfect place.
It's everyone. St. John's is DePaul in New York. Marquette is DePaul in Milwaukee. Xavier is DePaul in Cincinnati. It's the same school. So there's no reason why DePaul can't have that. And when I see the type of budget outlay that Marquette has for their men's basketball program, I am highly jealous. So, yes, it does come from a place of jealousy, but I didn't feel it. Like, had they lost in the Big East tournament final, I would have been laughing. Like that. And I was really kind of hoping that DePaul would outlast Xavier so they could face Marquette again, even though they were going to get run off the court. Them losing yesterday, I didn't feel the Schadenfreude. Like, I was okay. Like, oh, that's too bad. Like, I thought Marquette had a real chance to go and win this thing, but they got bullied yesterday. And Tom Izzo's teams are just, they're just prepared. He's he's obviously the Hall of Fame coach, but did you see him? He had like a little breakdown, like a little emotional breakdown when Jamie Erdahl was talking to him after the game.
She's fabulous, by the way.
She's terrific.
She's so awesome. I really didn't know. I just known her as a sideline reporter. She replaced Kay Adams
on football.
Good morning football.
I had like a Twitter thing with her last year because I had pointed out like how good she was on the sidelines, and she was like, you know, thank you very much. And she gets it. Like, it's comfortable.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't feel like she's been thrown into a job. It feels like she's actually built the relationship with the coaches.
It's not just that. It's a sense of humor.
Right.
And it's just like the perspective. It feels like she understands it's not, this isn't life and death. And this isn't like the football reporting where everything has to be like you're in a war zone. I mean, it's just.
Ray, didn't she? She had one of the kids, like one of the
FAU,
kids.
FAU, right?
Right. The kid cursed, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, we're on True TV.
Because it happens to all of us.
Yes!
But it was just so nice. It was almost so, like, parental, I thought, just to kind of be like, you're okay.
Don't worry about it. We're on True TV. Yeah. No one's watching.
Yeah, it was sweet. And then he said something that, and Darren Rovell pointed this out, say what you want about him, but I thought this was an interesting observation, that kid said, I'm out here trying to feed my family. And I was like, well, that's not something you usually hear in a college game. Right? Like, yeah, and I don't know exactly what he meant. If it's like his own nuclear family, is like his own children, or is he trying to help extended family at some point with what he's doing? But that was, it was something that resonated.
I've enjoyed this tournament so much because of the contrast and styles. And part of the reason that I thought that we were going to see kind of a crazy tournament is because you've got all this extra stuff. You've got players being extended, having their careers extended because of COVID, where all of those kids that were there the COVID year, and I want to say the class right after, they get an extra year. So let's say that you're talking about a player who's a 4A player, you know, maybe a player that ends up playing in Europe at some point, and instead of going to Europe, they're still on your team. That helps.
But look at Boo Booey and Chase Audige, right?
100%.
They can come back. I'm not sure what their professional prospects are going to be for either one of them to go make a lot of money overseas, but maybe you work out some NIL.
Yeah, and maybe you. I mean, I would imagine that there are Northwestern alums that could probably find some things.
Maybe.
For them to do.
Some have done okay for themselves.
Some seem to have done just fine. And those guys. But it's been really fun. Like, it's been fun to see how, like, the different coaches are watching Jim Larrañaga and what he's done with that Miami program and where it is right now. And watching Musselman in this tournament and watching him coach and what his guys are up there doing. The UConn team, like, that UConn team has been, I think, the most slept on team in the country. And they could end up surprising some people. And then there's Gonzaga and UCLA, like exactly what you would want to see in a West regional semifinal. Like, there you go. Here we are with a fun thing where it's not the teams necessarily that you would expect. It's Duke getting beat up this weekend.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldered and shoved and coached to go do that early in the game. Take a foul. Over-aggressive box out. Some of the guys like, oh, this is what we're doing today. Yes. 40 minutes of this.
It's very easy for folks to be rooting for San Diego State against Alabama because, you know, Alabama has had a lot of people that are involved in the death of a person. Let's put it that
way. Interesting way of putting it there.
I mean, that's what it is. And then there's the Creighton-Princeton one, and I have no idea which way to go on this because I don't quite trust Creighton, but look at them. Look at what they did and how they were able to put themselves in this position. But I'm with you. I would love to see Michigan State, Tennessee, but I also just like Noel from Kansas State. Like, you talk about a tough son of a, like, there it is. Point guard leadership from a guy who's not afraid to make shots. His passing, like his ability, because he's not the tallest guy, and seeing him no look between two defenders that have tried to ice him on screen roll to an open cutting guy, man, I'll watch that all day. All damn day.
When we come back, can we say bad deserved things about Purdue?
Yeah, we can. That's what we're going to do.
Good. I can't. I've been waiting for this all weekend.
As Herbie would say, per don't. And they didn't.
Are you a player that plays in a moment like this with something to prove about yourself?
Yeah, a lot. I've been trying to prove this since day one. Oh.
That's all right. It's all right. It happens to all of us. We're on True TV, man.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
The more I watch Purdue, the more I think we can beat them.
The lob, that will do it. FDU, believe it! For just the second time ever, a 16 beats a 1!
You had to believe it if you watched the whole thing. You heard from Tobin Anderson saying beforehand that he thought that they could beat him, and then when he admitted that he had to go do laundry, that he hadn't packed enough to actually back up his claim of thinking they could beat him. Like, you didn't think you could beat him enough to actually have enough clothes.
Well, that's usually what happens. And if you're looking at it, like, historically, he'd be correct. That's only happened one other time. Now, it's happened recently, so it should have given you hope. But more so, like, the matchup. My concern all year, whenever I watched Purdue guard play, I just felt like they didn't have the guards to really do anything special. And sure, you've got a 7'4" monster and the possible, probable Wooden Award winner, averaging, what, 27-13 or whatever it is that he's doing? But he's flawed as a big. And part of the reason that he's flawed as a big is if he's not going directly to the basket upon getting the ball, he doesn't know what to do.
They also didn't really have a plan.
Nope.
Other than try to get it to Edie, and if he can't do anything, shoot a three. That's all they did. And this is an article in Slate by Alex Kirshner.
It's fantastic.
And the headline is, That was the worst loss in the history of college basketball. And he makes this case here. So for a few reasons, it should have been close to impossible for Purdue to lose to Fairleigh Dickinson. There are 363 Division I men's basketball teams. FDU is the shortest one of them all, according to KenPom.
Wow.
The shortest of 363 with an average height of 6'1". So one could encounter the entire FDU basketball team in an airport and not be entirely sure they're a D1 basketball team. Purdue is one of the country's tallest teams. So think about that, right? They said when Edie did catch the ball, he was swarmed immediately.
He was.
In lots of those cases, he did what a big man is trained to do. He passed the ball. And shortly thereafter, his Boiler teammates chucked up threes. But Purdue having a bad three-point shooting night wasn't weird at all. The Boilermakers are a bad three-point team all season. Their 32.2% make rate was 278th in Division I.
Wow.
And their 19.2% make rate against FDU was only their fifth worst of the year. So them missing those shots was a foreseeable outcome. And it makes it strange that Purdue's only offensive interest in the game, other than getting the ball to Edie, when it thought it could, was to chuck up threes. So that was really what a number one seed from the Big Ten needed to rely on to handle a 16 from the NEC, a guarantee of a shooting game that wasn't that bad? That Painter and his players had nothing else in their bag. So the Knights had a brilliant game plan, but where was Purdue's chess game to match it? With bigger and more athletic players. Painter's supposed to be good at strategy. This is his job. It said FDU reduced Painter to ash with the simple strategy of putting lots of bodies on his best and biggest player, something Purdue had to knew was going to happen before the game. So the conclusion here.
Okay.
Purdue became the second number one seed to lose to a 16.
Maryland, Baltimore County.
This is now a three-year streak of losses to 13s or worse.
Mm-hmm.
This time against what looked like one of the worst tournament teams ever, with the shortest roster in Division I, because Purdue's coaching staff could not envision any way to score near the basket after the opponent deployed the highly predictable strategy of heavily guarding their best player, who's 7'4", which is 8 inches taller than anyone on FDU. Narratively, statistically, and logically, it couldn't be worse.
They weren't even supposed to be there, right?
And they didn't even win their conference tournament!
They got into the tournament on a technicality. Out of studs, is that right that they were the 68th ranked team out of all 68?
They were the 68th seed in the 68 team tournament. They were the last team on the bracket.
I don't know. You can say Chaminade over Virginia. There's all sorts of upsets along the way, but not on this stage like that. That to me is the point. Clearly, they're going to bracket Zach Edey. Now what?
And yeah, you'd see him, so he'd get the ball in the post. They'd double from the guard. So he'd have the ball, and obviously at 7'4", he's holding it. He's doing exactly what a big man should do. He's holding it above his head. No one's going to be able to get to it. But they did such a good job of being in his space. You know, we often talk about being in a guy's shirt, being in his jersey. That's what the defenders did.
Oh, they were in his shorts and his jock and his jersey. They made it so if he were to bring the ball down, and he couldn't do anything without bringing it down, it seemed, they were going to take it.
And he didn't know what to do with his feet. And when you got teammates that aren't making threes and you're going, well, I know the basketball play is to pass the ball out of this double, but these guys can't shoot a lick.
It's also don't wait. It isn't just pass it out. It's the timing where Edie was like securing the catch and allowing, like, boom, it should be gone. Like that should be instinctive. That should be, you can have extra movement. You can have guys exchanging on the sides, but he is, that ball shouldn't be in his hands long enough for the double team to matter.
Right.
It should be gone. Boom, boom, here. It can be incredibly effective. But he was like, okay, have ball.
Now what?
Now what do I do? Oh, lots of people. Oh, no. Like, seriously, like, he should say, call a timeout and say, know where you're going with it before you catch it. And see who's breaking where, boom, gone. Catch, boom, gone. It was just too deliberate.
Some people have texted in. This texture says, Purdue sufferers here. Painter is the common denominator in these bad losses. It's amazing how everyone is saying we're a class school and he runs a great, clean program. They could pay someone a quarter and get the same results. I haven't studied enough game tape to say that Matt Painter is a bad coach. But when you have Jaden Ivey on your team and your team doesn't go far in the tournament, I have a lot of questions. When you have a guy that's 7'4" and can play, like he's not, I don't think he's an NBA.
You use your draft picks on him.
I'm definitely not. Okay. But as far as college basketball goes, he can play. And you don't understand that he's going to be the focal point of the defense that you're going up against. That's on you. Like that's on you not having enough talent around him or understanding what the game plan is going to be.
847 says that was the key, having a big man that both holds the ball too long and needs to bring the ball down. It was like watching a robot.
His play was 100% robotic. Like it watching him, it felt like you were watching a guy who wasn't expecting this. And he's standing there like, someone help me. Please. These Lilliputians have attacked me, and I don't know what to do.
System malfunction, system overload, dude.
And then when he would throw it out there, they didn't know what to do. Or don't.
This has concluded our segment of crapping all over Purdue because we wanted to.
I feel like it might continue, though.
Oh, sure.
I think Pete's got some candy for Purdue, too.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah. I think he might have some things to say. So, next segment. Ordinarily, Dan and I talk college football with Pete Futek. Little did we know that he's been out here in these Twitter streets giving you winners and all sorts of stuff. He would like to talk some college basketball. So, we're going to talk college basketball with that pie-loving loon, Pete Futek. Next, here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.